invite you to hear these scripture passages, first from the Old Testament and the book of Exodus. Honor your father and your mother so that your life will be long on the fertile land that the Lord God is giving you. And then these words from Matthew's gospel. And Jesus said to the Pharisees and legal experts, "Why do you break the command of God by keeping the rules handed down to you? For God said, honor your father and your mother. And the person who speaks against father or mother will certainly be put to death. But you say, if you tell your father or mother, everything I'm expected to contribute to you, I'm giving to God as a gift, then you don't have to honor your father and mother. So why do you do away with God's law for the sake of the rules that have been handed down to you? Hypocrites! Isaiah really knew what he was talking about when he prophesied about you. This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. Their worship of me is empty since they teach instructions that are human rules." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I shared, if you've been with us throughout this series, I shared in the very first week of this series, the study of these Ten Commandments, how one of my kids wasn't too keen on the idea and thought of a series on a bunch of rules and stuff like that. I mean, they said, "Yeah, I think it's going to be rather boring, Dad." And so the other day I asked them if that has indeed been the case, and they said, "Well, Dad, it's not as boring as I thought it would be." Now, I'm not sure if to take that as a compliment or not, but it is true. We often think of these Ten Commandments as these burdensome rules, all right? It just kind of put us down. But I look at them a little bit differently. And that is, if we figure them out and we understand them better, they actually give us life. They're life-giving principles. In other words, they help us in our relationships. They help us find meaning and purpose and joy and hope. And that's really what the aim of this series has really been about. Now, I also said on that first Sunday that as we go through this series, we want to try and memorize the Ten Commandments. So I want to see how we're doing so far, okay? So the very first commandment was what? Or is? What is it? Have no other gods before me. The second one, do not make an idol for yourself. Exactly. Third one has to do with the name of God. So do not use God's name in vain. And then last week, remember the Sabbath and treat it as holy. So that's the first four. I said the first four have everything to do with how we are to relate to God. They're God-focused. And the next six are how we are to relate to one another. So the fifth commandment begins that second half, in a sense. And what is it? Now, we've shortened it just a little bit to make it easier to memorize. And it is this. Let's say it together. Honor your father and your mother. That's it. Honor your father and your mother. Now, you may have never even been to church, but you probably have heard that command. Right, we've all heard it, probably at some point along the way. But what I like about this, as you notice, if you look at it, is honor your father and your mother. That is a positive statement, okay? It's not a thou shalt not. Those follow, okay? Next week and the following week, we're going to focus on thou shalt not. This is thou shalt. You should. You must honor your father and your mother. And then with that positive statement comes a promise. Right, if you read on in Exodus and also in Deuteronomy, where you find the Ten Commandments as well, you find the promise. And the promise is that if you do this, right, things will go well with you. In fact, I'm going to read the passage from Deuteronomy, from that part of the Ten Commandments found there. It says, "Honor your father and your mother exactly as the Lord your God requires, so that your life will be long and so that things will go well for you on the fertile land that the Lord your God has given you." So it's a positive statement that is coupled with a promise. All right? This is what God is promising the Israelites, and by extension, us as well, that things will go well for us if we obey this command. So who doesn't want life to go well? I mean, we all do, right? So then what does it mean to honor your father and your mother if that's part of our life going well? Well, let's go back. I always like to do the kind of the word study. So let's go back to the Hebrew word, all right? The Hebrew word for honor. And it's this word kabod, kabod. And it means heavy, All right, so honor means heavy. Now, it doesn't mean that you look at your parents and you put them on a scale to see how much they weigh. That's not what it's talking about here. What it means is that you treat them as though they were weighty, meaning that they carry some weight, that they're significant, that they're important. We pay attention to them. We treat them as though they have significance. We're considerate of them. We consider their perspectives. Okay, this is what honor means, and to give weight to our mother or our mother and our father. And just like last week's commandments, God wants us to take this seriously. Okay? Leviticus 29 says, if there is anyone who curses his father or mother or her father or mother, he or she shall be put to death. Pretty serious, right? Remember the Sabbath. He didn't do that. What did it say? Put to death. Now, again, I think the focus is to remember, to impress upon us the seriousness of keeping this commandment. Because, I mean, how often do you think parents took their children to the elders of the village and say, you know what, my child is persistently rebellious, so will you put them to death? I'm assuming that it never happened. Right? But the idea was to take seriously what our parents have said and what our parents have done. Now, I don't know about you, but I didn't always treat my parents well, all right? Growing up especially, okay? I didn't always get along with them. I mean, that's pretty common, is it not? But, you know, when they would lay down a rule, I would be like, you know, that's just the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Why in the world will you make me do that or not let me do that? All right? See, and of course, I was seeing things just from my perspective. And when you only see things from one perspective, your own, guess what? You're always right and everybody else is wrong. So I look back now as being older and as a parent of myself, and I'm like, you know what? They were just looking out for me. They were just doing the best that they could. And that's really honor your father and your mother. And so part of that is treating them as though they have significance, being considerate of them, considering their perspectives. You know, what this is pointing us to. But have you ever thought about what, you know, maybe what we need from our kids? So this is like, you know, honor your father and your mother, but from the other side, what do we need from our kids? You ever thought about that? Now, when our children are babies, they really need us, right? They're not thinking about us, but they need us. They got a need. So, you know, we're there fulfilling those needs. When they get a little older, though, guess what? They start to think about us. You know, the first time they say mom or dad, or, you know, they can say, I love you, mom, or I love you, dad. It makes, you know, it just brings joy to you as well. You know, they make us, or they get us Mother's Day cards and Father's Day cards, right? It's wonderful. Then they get to be teenagers, okay? And they're not quite as wonderful or as loving as they were before. You know, teenagers are tough. And knowing that, I asked some of our parents here, some who have teenagers, some who have younger kids, some whose kids are much older and moved out. I asked them, though, what do they need from their kids? And here are a few things that they said. One said, listen and trust your parents. So this is parents talking to kids. Listen and trust your parents. They are looking out for your best interest. Sure. In many cases, remember, we have been there. We were once a teenager, regardless of how long ago it was. One mom said, if they would just give their mom some love from time to time. Again, speaking specifically to kids, but really during the teenage years. A dad said this about his teen, try not always to be another stressful part of my day. Try not to be another stressful part of my day. This mom said, you know, if they would just pick up their stinky clothes and put them in the dirty clothes basket, that would be wonderful. And then finally, one said, just remember, you know, that we're human beings too, and we hurt, and we have needs, and we need encouragement as well. See, I think this commandment is a reminder that as we mature, part of what we're meant to do is to see our parents the same as people. We're meant to minister to and not just be ministered by them. And I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, so what are four things that I would love to hear from my own kids? All right, I got four. What would I love to hear from my kids today, you know, as they're growing up, or even as they're older, especially even as they're older? I mean, I got a teenager, only one teenager now, and I got three 20-somethings, okay? to what would I want to like to hear from them. And so this is what I came up with. And the first one is simply thank you. All right, thank you. Second is I love you. Third, you matter to me. And the fourth, do you want to hang out? Do you want to hang out? Thank you, I love you, you matter to me, do you want to hang out? I mean, to hear any one of those things, just, you know, it means something. It ministers to, at least to my soul. All right? Things I look forward to or hope to hear, and I've heard those things. But regardless of what age, the things that, you know, I would like to hear, you know, as a parent. But here's the thing, what if your parents were not honorable towards you? Okay? What if your parents were not good parents? What if they didn't show you the kind of care that a parent is supposed to show you? I mean, and some of you, I'm guessing, had parents like that, okay? We know there are parents still like that, all right? So is this commandment telling us to honor those parents? And here's what I'd say to those who didn't have good parents, who maybe even abused you in some way, if you had a parent like that. Here's what I'd say. The fifth commandment is not really about those parents, okay? This fifth commandment is not about those parents. This commandment assumes that parents are trying to do what they're supposed to do. They're trying to care for their children. Now, they're not doing it perfectly because there are no perfect parents, but they're trying, okay? They're doing the best that they can, all right? They're trying to provide for the basic needs of their children. And so this commandment is for the broad number of parents who are doing, again, what they're supposed to do. So if you didn't have good parents that abused you or whatever, does this commandment apply to them? No. I would say no. You know, a parent who's sexually or physically abused their child, this commandment does not apply to them. Okay? That parent is not worthy of our honor or our respect that this commandment speaks about. Now, there are other verses in the Bible that do speak as to how we're to relate to those kind of parents. I mean, Jesus said, what did he say? Love your enemies, right? And he wasn't talking about having all these warm and fuzzy feelings about somebody. He said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. Now, maybe the pain in your life from your parents is so serious that you really can't get to the point of loving them or doing good to those who've hurt you or even blessing those who've cursed you or mistreated you. But you know what? We can all pray for them, right? We can pray for them. And in the process, in our prayers, we can say, God, please help, you know, help me because my heart has been hurt. I've been so hurt by this person, so help me. And I pray that you'd help them to be the person that you want them to be, right? So we can always pray. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he says this. He says, do not repay any evil for evil. Because that's our tendency, right? We get hurt, we want to hurt them in response. But he says, don't repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought of what is noble in the sight of all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. He's saying, you know, look, what comes around goes around, okay? God's going to take care of this, and God's always going to, you know, God is looking toward your redemption. See, and so he says, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. Do not overcome evil but overcome evil with good. Now, I realize that can be really hard. For some people to get to that point. And not everybody can get there. For some, the most healing thing they can do is, you know, I just need to stay away, to stay as far away as possible from this person because it's just too painful. You know, I can't enter into that relationship anymore. But you can pray for them, okay? You can pray for them. Now, most scholars look at this commandment and they say, well, what it's really about, you know, is as your parents are aging. You honor them as they age. This commandment was part of the social contract that God was given to Israel. And that God was saying to them, you know, you have to honor your father and your mother. And by that he meant as they get older, they're going to need your help. They might need your financial help. They might need your advice. They're going to need your care. You're going to need to, you might need to provide a place for them to live. Okay? This was God's social security plan. All right? We didn't come up with our version until 1935 here in the United States. Okay? Before that, you know, this was the social security plan that God set in place to honor your father and mother. This is how life worked. All right, there weren't 401ks, there weren't retirement plans. It was human beings caring for multiple generations as they grew older. Remember when Jesus was approached by a rich young ruler, and he said, you know, hey, the ruler asked him, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And what did Jesus do? His reply was, well, he quoted some of the Ten Commandments. He said, do not commit murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, many of us, as we age, you know, we don't want to be a burden to our children, so we do everything we can to save for our retirement so our kids don't have to help us financially. But even if we don't need help financially, they're still going to need our help, our aging parents. They're still going to need our help. I mean, there's a thousand different ways that our parents may need us when they get older. But to be able to respond, we have to be engaged, we have to be involved. And it may not be the same as the Israelites when they first received this commandment, but we're still called to honor our father and our mother in this way. And it's not just our parents as they age. You know, as I was working on this week, I came across a term I really wasn't familiar with before, and it was the term elder orphans. You heard of that? Elder orphans. It's older adults who have, maybe they have no children, or whose children are disengaged, or who live so far away, or you know, their spouses have died, they're widowed, and maybe they were never married, and so they're an elder orphan, meaning they're an older adult who feels that or there is no one who has the primary obligation to care for them. Elder orphan. Now, throughout Scripture, God, what does God do? God calls us to care for the widows and the orphans, and the orphans aren't always children, okay? It's also older adults who are left without children or other people to help care for them. Studies show that 22% of Americans are at risk of becoming an elder orphan, with 70% of that number not having identified a caregiver in the event of becoming disabled or ill. So they're an elder orphan. And so what are they going to do? What does that look like? Right? And it's not just about being disabled or becoming ill. It's about not being lonely. It's about having people to notice you. It's about having people who say, you know what, thank you, I love you, you matter to me, can we hang out? I see, we all need this, right? A colleague of mine shared a story of a group in his church and what they did. One of their members, 96-year-old member, widow with no children, closest family member, lives in Canada. So they fit the description of an elder orphan. And so some people in his church, they recognized that, and so they decided to adopt this woman, this 96-year-old woman, and to become her family. And they called themselves Team Barbara. And they did all kinds. They helped her move into, make the transition from her home to an assisted living facility. They cleaned her home. They got it ready and helped her sell it. They did all kinds of things that, you think about it, a 96-year-old most likely couldn't do on their own. But they had adopted her, and they were her family. Now, I know many of you have done something similar for people. People maybe here in our church, people in your community where you are, if you're not in this area, or beyond. I know here at St. Stephen, one of our members, Jack Rogers, he does a lot of this just on his own. Okay, he's done a lot of this just looking out for those who may fit that elder orphan. He's done a lot, and he's not the only one, of course, okay? But right now, Jack is leading an effort to better connect with our homebound members, those who may be considered elder orphans, and we're calling it Christian Friends. And I want to encourage you, if you're connected to St. Stephen or you're in this area, I want to encourage you to be a part of Christian Friends. We're going to put out information this week about how you can do that on our website, so in our e-news and stuff like that. So if that's something you might be interested in, I'd love for you to get connected and to be part of our Christian Friends. Who are, what are they doing? They're living into and living out, really, this commandment there. I mean, because this is something we all want. I mean, think about it. When you're in your 90s, and maybe your family's no longer around, or maybe they live somewhere else, what do you hope happens to you or for you? Do you hope there's somebody who comes and visits you and asks you questions about your life and wants to hear your stories? All right? And then share their story with you and to connect with you and to build a relationship with you. You know, wouldn't you want someone who comes and who says, you know what, I see you and you matter to me. I love you. I want to hang out with you. Again, I think we all want that. But that only happens if there are people who are willing to say, hey, Lord, please use me to bless someone else in this way. I mean, see, that's what I love about this commandment. It says, if you honor your father and your mother, it's going to go well for you. And you're going to live long. Now, that's not because and God's going to miraculously bless you in this way. I don't think that's what it's about. I think what God is saying is that if you do this for other people, you're going to find that when you're at that age, other people are going to do it for you. So I want to invite us to be that kind of people who are seriously asking, okay, who are the senior adults in my life that I need to care for, that I need to bless, that I need to spend time with? And it might be your own parents. Great. But, you know, maybe it is, and it's also an opportunity for you, you know, to adopt an elder orphan. All right. To say, you know what, whether your parents or someone else's, or that elder orphan, to say, hey, you know what, I was thinking about you. Can we hang out? All right. Thank you. I love you. You matter to me. See, God calls us to honor our fathers and our mothers and the elderly, basically the elderly in our midst. And so I want us to say those words just once again. These four things that you might say to somebody else. And I hope you'll say them to someone this week. Thank you. I love you. You matter to me. Can we hang out? And you might just find that those people feel weighty, like they matter, like they're significant, because you said those things to them. And so let us honor our fathers and our mothers. Would you pray with me? Christian God, we are grateful. We're grateful that you are our father. You are our parent, even if our earthly parents have failed us. For you, O God, remain steadfast, and you love us relentlessly. But Lord, help us to remember that, not just our own parents, but all those who are older. Help us to remember them. Maybe those who feel like they're, who are, or feel like they're elder orphans. And Lord, help us to reach out to them, saying, thank you, I love you, you matter to me. Do you want to hang out? For it's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.